Hello, fam. Hello, and welcome back, all of you loyal and cherished supporters. Thank you all for tuning in this week to Can We Talk With Jewel podcast, proudly sponsored by FundraisingCup.org Ministries. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm so excited to dive right on into today's topic. And those of you that follow us know that we generally uplift our communities and nurture our spiritual growth together. So I'm back again, this time solo. Once again, I got a lot of good feedback from one of my prior solo podcasts and realized that you guys have not been hearing from me one-on-one for a little while. So I'm going to, you know, kind of pick up the pace on that and have a few solo sessions with you guys. but eventually, I'm going to go live, yes, live on camera, where you guys can see me face to face and call in. Imagine that, right? You know, the truth is, I avoided going on camera, not because I have anything to hide from you all, but I really wanted these messages in the podcast to be delivered uninterrupted. This is how I kind of weed out the fake ones, the haters, and all of that, because it, you don't really have much to talk about if not the material itself, right? And so if the haters of this podcast at this particular juncture, not seeing me and all, are talking, then it's very clear to my supporters who may have possibly sold out for the knowledge that I'm freely giving to all of my supporters, if you catch my drift. You know, as we used to say in New York growing up, go ahead, son, tell them why you're mad. That's for all my haters. Tell them why you're really mad. Tell them why you don't want me to speak this truth and tell people what's really been going on, because, you know, you really shouldn't have a reason to be angry, right? Just a little sidebar. But, you know, oftentimes when you're single, on a more serious note, the enemy will send distractions. Or I can be seen as a physical distraction myself, right? Where the message is sort of lost in translation. And I want you all to know that I take this podcast very seriously. And I told you all before, I'm a different pedigree, right? I'm not your typical first lady. I'm not your typical I giggle because, you know, some women proclaim to be spiritual for clout, right? And some of us are actually called to be spiritual teachers, irregardless of how we feel about it, how you feel about it, how they feel about it. So when I say our Father is calling a different pedigree, I mean, we're definitely not what you're used to by any means at all. We are very much comfortable in our skin, and we walk in this authenticity that you just can't, real recognizes real, and you can just feel it off of someone, you know? So those of you that may have seen pictures of me or even seen me in person and wonder, wow, this spiritual woman doesn't wear shirts buttoned up to her nose and skirts down to her ankles. I want to tell you, don't worry about what we're wearing, the color of our hair, my slang, or how many tattoos we have. Just know we have been tried and tested for spiritual warfare. Know that, okay? And our Father is not looking for actors right now. That quota has been filled. As you can see, it's not really working out for many of the old school actors that were with these prominent pastors just for the look of being spiritual women and performing and not really telling their truth and helping out the community the way the community needed it. So now God's reaching into his little bag of tricks and pulling out some of us just right out of the hood, so to speak, right out of wherever, you know, I'm from the Bronx, so right out of the Bronx. Wherever we're being pulled from, we're being pulled, and it is what it is. What can I say? You heard me? If you are a real one, like I said, you recognize me, and you understand at this juncture, all they can do is pretty much lie on our character, right? Because your walk is so tough in your spiritual growth that the lie detector will determine that's a lie at the end of the day. So they can bring that trash to Maury or somewhere else. Just don't bring it to Auntie Juju's door. You know what I mean? Anyway, today's topic is dodging bullets and the great escape. And I think you guys are going to like where I go with this. Well, at least those that want to learn spiritually. Those working in darkness, not so much. But I get it. We're going to take the scripture reading from Genesis. And I'm going to pull out a few nuggets from chapter 6 through 15 regarding Enoch and the fallen angels, right? And I think the way I tie it into today's message, you guys are going to be like, wow, I can see where she's going with that. Anyway, in Genesis 6, verses 1 through 2, it says, "And Uriel said to me," Uriel being an angel, "here shall stand the angels who have connected themselves with women, and their spirits, assuming many different forms, are defiling mankind, and shall lead them astray into sacrificing to the demons of God. Here shall they stand till the day of the great judgment, in which they shall be judged, till they are made an end of. And the women also of the angels who went astray shall become sirens. And I, Enoch, alone saw the vision, the ends of all things, and no man shall see as I have seen." He expanded on this quite a bit more, and he says, "And it came to pass, when the children of men had multiplied, that in those days were born unto them beautiful and comely daughters, and the angels, the children of the heaven, saw and lusted after them, and said to one another, Come, let us choose us wives from among the children of men, and beget us children. And Semjaza, who was their leader, said unto them, I fear ye will not indeed agree to do this deed, and I alone shall have to pay the penalty of a great sin. And they all answered him and said, Let us all swear an oath, and all bind ourselves by mutual imprecations, not to abandon this plan, but to do this thing. Then swear they all together, and bound themselves by mutual imprecations upon it. And they were in all 200 who descended in the days of Jared on the summit of Mount Hermon. And they called it Mount Hermon because they had sworn and bound themselves by mutual imprecations upon it. And these are the names of their leaders: Samlazaz, their leader, Arikalba, Ramil, Kokabel, Tamlel, Ramlel, Daniel, Ezekiel, Barakajel, Asiel, Aramosis, Bartero, Ananel, Zacchiel, Samsakiel, Satarel, Urel, Jamjael, Sarel, These are their chiefs of 10. And all of the others together with them took unto themselves wives, and each chose for himself one. And they began to go in unto them and to defile themselves with them. And they taught them charms and enchantments and the cutting of roots, and made them acquainted with plants. That would be different herbs. And they became pregnant, and they bare great giants, whose height was 3,000 ills, who consumed all the acquisitions of men. And when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against them and devoured mankind. And they began to sin against birds and beasts and reptiles and fish, and to devour one another's flesh and drink the blood. Whew. Then the earth laid acquisition against the lawless ones. And Azazel taught men to make swords and knives and shields and breastplates, and made them known to them the metals of the earth and the art of working them, and breastplates and ornaments and the use of antimony and the beautifying of eyelids and all kinds of costly stones and all coloring tinctures. And there arose much godlessness, and they committed fornication, and they were led astray, and became corrupt in all their ways. Samjaza taught enchantments and root cuttings, Amaroth, the resolving of enchantments, Baraquijal taught astrology, Cocobel, the constellations, Ezekiel, the knowledge of the clouds, Araquail, the signs of the earth, Shamsiel, the signs of the sun, and Sariel, the course of the moon. And as men perished, they cried, and their cry went up to heaven. This stuff was apparently going on during Enoch's lifetime. He came to the fallen angels who had married human wives in chapter 13 and prophetically pronounced a judgment of God on them. The angels became afraid when they heard the judgment, and they asked Enoch to intercede on their behalf. In chapter 13, verses 3 to 7, describe this incident. Then I went and spoke to them all together, and they were all afraid, and fear, the trembling, seized them. And they besought me to draw up a petition for them, that they might find forgiveness, and to read their petition in the presence of the Lord of heaven. For from thenceforward they could not speak with him, nor lift up their eyes to heaven for shame of their sins, for which they had been condemned. Then I wrote out their petition, and the prayer in regard to their spirits and their deeds individually, and in regard to their request that they should have forgiveness and length. And I went off and sat down at the waters of Dan, in the land of Dan, to the south of the west of Hermon. I read their petition till I fell asleep. Now when Enoch is asleep, God meets him in a vision and denied the petition of the fallen angels. He refused to forgive their sins or to restore them to fellowship with God. Instead, he gave Enoch a lengthy reprimand to deliver now back to these fallen angels in scriptures 14 and 15. Here are some portions of that rebuke. Your petition will not be granted unto you throughout all the days of eternity, and that judgment has been finally passed upon you. Yea, your petition will not be granted unto you, and from henceforth you shall not ascend into heaven until all eternity. And in bonds of the earth, the decree has gone forth to bind you for all the days of the world, and that previously you shall have seen the destruction of your beloved sons, and ye shall have no pleasure in them, but they shall fall before you by the sword, and your petition on their behalf shall not be granted, nor yet on your own, even though you weep and pray. Wow, very heavy stuff. I don't think we often see the wrath of God, and I think people tend to believe that since he's so loving, that he doesn't have this kind of sternness to him where it's like the final decision, the final judgment. And I pray and hope we never have to be on that side of the token. But I think the message that I want to take from this is that when God makes a decision, oftentimes many of us that are seemingly healers and helpers and teachers, we often want to intervene and help those in need, sometimes to our own detriment, right? And having a spirit of godliness in us, I think that there is this assumption that our boundaries can be crossed to some degree, and that they will be forgiven because they see God as forgiven. And I think many of us, although we walk as children of God and emulate his spirit that they see in us, they also need to see that sternness and understand that certain decisions that they make, we cannot help them. They will have to deal with the repercussions of those decisions. And what I mean by this is that everyone, to some degree, will have to take control of their own narrative and walk in your own divinity. You'll have to gather as much evidence as you can throughout your journey to counter all of the false narratives and deception of the enemy. And I always say, people lie, but evidence doesn't. To the most part. I mean, some people can alter videos and photos, but for the most part, you know, when you have it in your hand as solid evidence, it won't lie, right? And that's what I had to do in my own case, so I wouldn't tell you guys anything that I wouldn't take on as advice. Because I got loved ones still out here paying Masons to assist them in creating false narratives to affect my nervous system. And they're out here biting their nails and hoping that I don't reveal the whole truth, nothing but the truth, in these podcasts about what exactly they have been investing in for these years. And it is what it is. You know, I have taken my stand. You know the saying, Rosa sat so Ruby can walk. Well, I guess I walk so the enemy can get caught down there crawling through these underground tunnels, hoping that they have enough former government officials or retirees entangled into their web of lies and blood oaths to cover their trails. I don't fear any of them, and neither should any of you, to be completely honest. These silly rabbits. Or better yet, let's call them armadillos since they like to dig trenches and cannot stand tall and actually face their victims and people they attack. You know, if you can't look someone in the eye and speak your truth, then imagine truly being fearful of someone like that. You know, fearing someone that is a covert sex offender or trafficker but just has a title. Please, come on. They know that I see them, and they just behave like these little pests and in hopes that the trumpet doesn't blow. And everyone sees them without their mask on. But anyway, before I digress any further on them, I want to focus on today's message, which is choosing yourself and walking away from what is broken and unhealed. I need light workers to fight for your legacy. How you think will be passed down to your children, to future generations. When I speak about inheritance, and I spoke about that a lot in prior podcasts, why? Because, you know, they attempted to steal mine. I'm not just talking about wealth, and land that these lower vibrating individuals are fighting for and sacrificing people for. But I'm also talking about your spiritual gifts. I'm talking about that wisdom that you can pass down. Those that don't know better go around shouting, what is it, YOLO, you only live once. And they're out here wasting time and energy, setting their generations back for their own selfish gain. But those of us on a higher spiritual knowledge understand reincarnation and the importance of passing the baton until our lineage gets it right. And I want to emphasize that because it's very disturbing to me that these lower vibrating individuals disrespect our ancestors by not honoring their wishes. There's a reason why our ancestors choose certain individuals to break generational curses. It's not because they think, oh, this person looks good and I think it'll be a good choice. It's because they're built for it, right? They've learned some valuable lessons in their prior reincarnated life that they believe they can bring to this one and really just break that curse once and for all. And then you have these people that have learned nothing, absolutely nothing. By the grace of God, he's given them a chance to come back and learn something from generational curse breakers, and they're still learning nothing, and having the audacity to want to take a cheat sheet and just rob and steal and cheat their way into the kingdom. That's not the way it's done. Since so many of them like to play games with this precious thing called life here, let me speak in a language they can better understand. You cannot pass go until you pay for the crimes committed. Now you're in trouble, and this is the life you have chosen. You follow? The fact is, you're either out here slaying demons or attached to one and working on assignments with them. That's the bottom line. So choose wisely, because those of us out here slaying don't care who is offended by these truth bombs that we're dropping. And we surely understand those on the opposing side don't give a darn about the souls they're snatching. So choose a team, okay? Because there's no blurry line. And as I mature, right, in my spiritual walk, I have gained a much deeper understanding for praying for my enemies. There was a point where I outright refused to pray for them. And I would say to Father, did you see that huge pit they done dug for me? Now, I know you didn't expect me to pray that they crawl out here without getting any scars on them knees, Father. And, you know, the truth is they don't have the tools or the gifts needed to even get out of the ditch they done dug. Even with the head start, even with the collaborations, they just don't have the connections to get out. Shout out to my ancestors and spiritual team that don't play about me. I love y'all all greatly. Thank you for helping me get out of the ditch they dug. But they don't have it. So that diabolical plan they set out for me, you, him, her, whoever, will hit them sevenfold. And you remember how it felt? Those of you who were thrown in there and were like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why are they spewing lies and what's all this confusion? You don't know whether you're coming or going because it's a whole collaboration, right? And you're just like, whoa, what just happened? You remember what that felt like. And when you were searching for deliverance in the dark, when you was seeking for one righteous man to help you, and all you could do was pray that God delivers you, that you can literally dodge a bullet and have a great escape from what they set forth. You remember that time. The fact is, God answered you. He answered your prayer. You dodged that bullet. They won't have it as lucky. And God's not going to answer that call. Now, that is something I truly cannot imagine dealing with, and the hopelessness that may come with it. So we pray for them. When we pray for them, what we're praying for truly is that they somehow muster up the strength to deal with what they set out for others diabolically. We pray that you can endure it. We pray that you pay the price for your sins and could somehow, some way, get back to Father's ear where he can even hear a plea. That's really, it's just a lot. It's just a lot to think about. And when you are called to lead a bloodline, it comes with many trials, right? You guys know this. But more times over, what they don't prepare you for, and Auntie Juju is going to prepare you, it comes with heavy jealousy and envy. You see, your elders may feel a certain kind of way about someone their junior being called over them for the generation, right? That's something you probably don't even think of. You would think, or at least I thought, right, your elders would look down and be like, oh, I'm so proud of such and such, you know, kind of like if your child gets drafted to the NBA or something or becomes the president. You would think that you would have that kind of admiration, right? Not necessarily. Not necessarily when it comes to this spiritual warfare, because there comes this envy and jealousy as to why would the Most High God, why would our prior ancestors all come into agreement that this should be the one and not me? Don't I know more than them? Didn't I raise them? How can they be given knowledge or wisdom that I wouldn't necessarily be given? These are all things that would be going through an elder's mind and say, you know what? No. I'm going to find a way to take this from them. I'm going to find a way to circumvent what God's decided, because God doesn't really know what he's talking about. I birthed them. I know. I birthed them that birthed someone else. I know what's best. I am going to do what it is I feel like doing and circumvent God's ordained plan. And I know for those of us that are spiritually enlightened, that sounds ridiculous. It sounds silly. But people are actually thinking this way. People are actually thinking that they can circumvent God's order, God's decision, God's and even our ancestral decisions. And then you have your peers, right? You may not realize that even your peers may feel you don't have all the qualifications that they think you should have in terms of being a spiritual leader and breaking generational curses for your lineage. But here's the truth that people somehow seem to forget. Our father said that the meek shall inherit the earth. Not the loud, not the abrasive, not betrayers, the meek and humble. These are the ones that are hidden in plain sight within your lineage. Those that you overlooked, that you said, oh, they're just, you know, what do you call them? Peacemakers, right? they're just going to go along to get along. And if they don't, then, you know, we feel that we're greater than them and we'll take their place, so to speak, spiritually. With that said, we must understand those of us that are chosen to break generational curses, we can't help everybody. I'm going to repeat that again in case you didn't hear me the first time. We can't help everybody. These individuals will have to sink or swim. In other words, once they make their bed, they must prepare to lie in it. You see, all of that circumventing and creating these false narratives and projecting and, you know, manipulating, all of the fun and games that they created, because we discussed earlier how they only like to play games, and we broke down the game of life and the game of Monopoly. They're going to have to deal with the repercussions of all that game playing. Go straight to jail. Do not collect any funds. Do not collect any inheritance. And you sit there and you reflect on your behavior and your actions. We are all charged to learn from not just our own mistakes, but from these individuals and the demons within them as well. And we may in turn, have to take that knowledge and paint a whole new canvas for ourselves, for our future lineage and legacy, as hard as it may seem, in walking away from these individuals. So yes, that means you will have to make the greatest sacrifice in escaping the traps of each of your own enemies. And that would be walking away from those you once knew that have now become ensnared in the devil's games and decided they too wanted to play and not take this journey seriously. They simply did not learn the lessons needed to help the future generations here, and we must accept that truth for what it is. By simply walking away and leaving them to their vices of corruption, occult practices, theft, sexual immoralities, these addictions, and even hidden children, the topic for another day, only the Lord knows what else. Seriously. But understand, in turn, we simply dodged the bullet. When we decided to carry our own cross and walk in our truth, yes, no entanglements here, no codependency, and most importantly, no fear. When you make a conscious decision to no longer play the enemy's game, then the actual players are left stuck trying to out-manipulate and expose each other in hopes of saving themselves. But that's a mess we'll discuss at a later juncture on another podcast. Today, I want to focus on celebrating all of you who dodged the bullet with your great escape. Congratulations. Those of you that have learned the lessons, that have stepped away from the chaos and are treading a new path, a new pathway for your lineage that's forged in truth, honor, respect, codes that you would like your family to live by, I congratulate and applaud you. But one more thing I want to leave you guys with before I close out is that I want to be clear about the wisdom and knowledge of our Father and high aroused. This information was intended to be shared freely with all of those that are seeking it and needing protection. You should never have to sell your soul, steal, do blasphemous acts, sacrifice a loved one, or harm innocent women, children, and animals to obtain it. Do you hear me, somebody? We were placed here to share, create, and learn from one another. Anyone that is inspired by any of my posts or podcasts, I personally encourage you to build on them. Add your own creative spin. And if anyone questions you, tell them Auntie Juju said it's okay. That's how it's done. The only real credit that I need comes from our Father, the Most High God, because man here on earth is likely to steal it anyway, not compensate you. And no matter how hard you work in this realm, you may never truly receive the accolades or credit that you were supposed to receive. So I don't work for the man. That's why he can't really fire me. I work for Daddy. So who gonna fire me? You hear me? And I want you guys to take that information, because I know that sometimes people are a little hesitant to repost my messages and podcasts, and I don't look or frown down upon it. I encourage you guys, please share, please build, be creative, and you know, if you're called to do God's work and we're called to work together, I would love to have you on. I would love to help you build your own, as long as we're building and learning for the kingdom. So I encourage that. Finally, I want to close out with a few comments from the last podcast. Amika Nenji says she loves this perspective. God is good. Cynthia Cooper said, enjoy the moments. May God bless you and yours completely. The reason for the season is love. Season's greetings. Amen. Thank you, Cynthia Cooper. Brother Thomas commented, this is a wonderful conversation between two very dedicated Christian women and their life struggles. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Thomas. I'm sure we'll have you on in no time, and you are surely missed. With that said, I want to thank you all for supporting me and the podcast, and I wish you all well. Until we meet again. Bye.